On the air everywhere, this is Metro South Podcasting.
Welcome to the Ron Van Dam Show. Hold on tight, things can get a bit weird, if you like that sort of thing.
Here we go, lady.
Whatever.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. It's the Whatever Show. Starring whoever shows up. It's a 45 minute to 1 hour long program with about maybe 3 minutes of entertainment. Other than that, not so much. Welcome to the program. My name is indeed Ron Van Dam. That is how I am identified. I often thought that names are ridiculous, so why would a guy be standing in front of you named Bob, and then there could be another guy standing next to him named Bob as well? Isn't that redundant? So I never understood that. I don't know why people have the same name. They're not the same person. Why would they be named the same thing? It's a coincidence. Maybe the guy that was named in St. Louis and the guy that was named in New York didn't know each other and just happened both to use the name Bob, which is a very odd name. How could anybody come up with that? How many Bobs do you know? I don't know any. Of course, there's always Robert. Bob isn't good enough. You got to be Robert or Rob or Bert. Yeah, it's just... So I always thought numbers were pretty good. You know, like, hey, what's your identification? Oh, I'm 73256PWJ7, but you can call me Jay. Wow, man. I don't know anybody with that name. No, you don't, because nobody has this particular number and letter combination. My name also comes with a password, so you can't steal my stuff. That's how screwed up I can be sometimes. I do wonder why two people who are completely different, are of absolutely no relation to each other whatsoever, can both be named Bob. It blows my mind. It's like, who's the real Bob? Well, Ron, there can be like hundreds of thousands and millions of Bobs. Well, then why have that designation at all? Why would somebody even want to be named Bob? See, I don't have any problem with people being called Sunshine or things like that, you know, or Daisy Face. I mean, people think that those are strange names. Yeah, they're strange. No one else is going to be called Daisy Face. Just like a couple of people. Someone named Daisy Face in California could run into someone named Daisy Face in Florida. It's possible, but not likely. Chances are your domain name and your name could be the same and no one else would infringe upon it. But if you're going to go like bringing somebody up and then sitting in a hospital and saying, what do you want to name the child? Oh, how about Bob? It's like, man, you know, there's nothing wrong with Bob. Bob's a great name. Probably like half of you listening are named Bob, women included, because there are Bobbies. There are women Bobbies. I'm just saying, like, wouldn't it be interesting if people just name things differently instead of like everybody is named Jim? Everybody I know is named Jim. Every female I know is named Jessica. And if her first name isn't Jessica, then somewhere in that middle name, there's a Jessica somewhere. I marry Jessica Sisablaflaf. That's the most common name I know. And I wonder why. Why don't people just start naming humans from, you know, make things up, man. Be creative about it. You know, if you're going to have a child, consider calling your child... Lampy. How about Lampy? Like, you know, your favorite lamp, put a Y on it. Lampy. No one else is going to be named Lampy. And it's cute. It's cute. How about naming your child Dick Pointer? I mean, I what's wrong with that? Nothing. No one else is going to be named Dick Pointer. And that would be one name, by the way. That Pointer wouldn't be the last name. The first name would be Dick Pointer. Yeah, or start naming things after objects, you know, like, hi, a pleasure to meet you. My name is Pallbearer. I'm Pallbearer, P-A-U-L-B-E-A-R-E-R, Pallbearer. I was named after my uncle, who actually was a pallbearer for his brother's funeral. And it stuck. It stuck pretty much. And we call him Pallbearer. Pallbearer Anderson. Yeah, that's his full name. Yeah. Or, you know, anything. Just name after anything, you know, like, my name is Lint. Hi, I'm Lint. Hi, Lint. How are you? Fine. You can call me Lint. You know, just anything, you know. But this Bob and Jim and Jessica, like, enough of with this. You know, let's start really, like, honing in. And when you go to a certain town or city, you'll find that the same streets are used over and over and over again. Why not be creative? There are, like, billions of things in the world that you can name streets after. And why do you name them after the same things? Why does every town have a Washington Street? I know the guy was the first president, but we're kind of like overusing that. There's a Washington Street everywhere. As a matter of fact, we're kind of perplexed that one Washington Street in one town doesn't connect to the Washington Street in another town. Sometimes they even do. Every town has an Oak Street. I guess it's a real popular tree. There's an Oak Street. There's a Maple Street. In the city of Brockton, which is nearby where I podcast, they have a Belmont Street, a Belmont Place, and a Belmont Court. And I think they have a Belmont Avenue as well. Can you get off the Belmont kick? I don't know who Belmont was. Sounds like a butler's name. I don't know. Whenever I don't know who somebody is, I assume that they were a Civil War general, you know, General Belmont. I assume that. And my assumption is usually correct. But why do you're confusing people. Where do you live? I live on Belmont. And then you get in the car and you hit the GPS and you go, oh, this is Belmont Place, this is Belmont Street, this is Belmont Smile. Which Belmont is it, man? It could be any Belmont. Come on, man. Use up all your options before you start going back to the same name again. I mean, how many streets do you have in a town or city that you can't like come up with a name for it that isn't the same as another name you've already used? Seriously, it shows me that town has absolutely no creativity whatsoever, and I don't want to live there. New York City has it really smart. They don't name their places after names or people, their streets. They do when you get down to Financial District, but basically New York is like West 57th Street, West 58th Street, 6th Avenue, 5th Avenue, 7th Avenue, 8th Avenue. I mean, they kind of got it together, you know? Like, there is no question where something is. You don't have to look on a map to find out where 6th Avenue and 57th Street is. You can pretty much logically figure that out. I love that. I think that's intelligent. New York's an intelligent place. It's not real romantic. Certainly not. I mean, New York is romantic, but streetwise, no. I mean, you know, I'm just saying, man, let's get it on. Let's get creative. You only have one life. Why are we just like not using our brains and when we're naming stuff? That's all I'm saying. I've wasted about 10 minutes of your time with this stupid subject. But at the same time, I realize, as you do, this is very, very important. It's a very, very important thing to talk about.
Seriously, if this guy was any cooler, he would be pronounced dead. He's Ron Van Dam, and this is The Ron Van Dam Show.
gonna have to tell me because my binoculars are broken. I'll give you a couple of minutes to think about that one, then you'll laugh hysterically all day. Or you'll be calling the authorities, one or the other, and that's your segment for today.
What are you wearing? What are you wearing today, today? What are you wearing? What are you wearing? What are you wearing?
All right, that was pretty sick. That was very, very sick. Ladies and gentlemen, today on the program, oh my goodness, we got so much going on. I'm just boggled with my mind what's happening today. We got a very interesting interview coming up a little bit later. I'm going to talk to this person about eating healthy. That's one of my kicks. You know that, man. You know I'm into eating healthy. I really am. No more sugars for me. No more sugar. I'll have something with like 2-3 grams of sugar in it if I can squeeze that in there. Natural sugar and fruits, wonderful, fine. But this 14 grams of sugar, eating ice cream and drinking soda, nah, not for me. That's poison. That is poison. It is poison. No more sugar for me. Large amounts of sodium, large amounts of salt. Bye-bye, gone. Bye-bye. See you later. Bye-bye. And I know I can't control the sodium, especially if I go out to eat in a restaurant. But for the most part, I am going to make that effort because I want to live at least past 6:30 this evening. I think that would be really nice. So we're going to talk about eating healthy and what you put in your pantry. We're going to do that today. And then we're also going to get a little bit more serious. I don't know if I want to do that today. I'm so fickled sometimes. I'm pretty fickled. Yeah, I think we will. All right. Let's talk about the healthy eating today. We'll do that a little bit later on the show because I'm not in the mood right now. I'll tell you what I am in the mood for. Do you enjoy my funny little stories? Do you enjoy? Aren't they fun? Aren't they a lot of fun?
And now it's time for one of Ron's funny stories. You could practically hear the quotes around funny, couldn't you?
Yeah, probably you could. All right, it's time for funny story. Gear up for this, ladies and gentlemen. It doesn't get any funnier than this. This is a true story. All my funny stories, by the way, are true until you find out that they're not. All these things really happened, but not to me and not in real life. All my funny stories have been authenticated by a rabbi who lives in Brookville, Massachusetts. In order to make it a funny story, 6 people would have to laugh at it at some juncture during the funny story, otherwise it's not a certified funny story. That's pretty lame, isn't it? This is true. This is actually true. I'm telling you, this is true, and I'm not kidding you. This is absolutely true. Yesterday, I was doing my laundry. Ron, you do laundry? Don't you have, like, servants that do it for you? Yes, I do, but they were off yesterday shoveling my driveway. So I'm doing my laundry, and I wear socks like you wear socks. You like socks? They're nice and comfy, especially in this cold winter weather. I'm putting the socks in the washing machine, and they're tumbling around. They're having a great time in there. You know, they're mingling. My socks are mingling with my underpants, and they're tumbling around. It's like whoa, you know, like seriously, yeah. Some of my socks are getting up the little leg holes of the underpants, and they're just having a ball, literally. They really are. And the underpants are loving it, man. They are just going, whoa, something different in here for a change. So my clothes are intermingling. A couple of t-shirts got involved, and it became like a menage a clothes. You know what I'm saying? Anyway, so they're getting really clean, and they're tumbling around and having a good time. And the load finished. I have finished my load. I shot my load. And it's been 50 minutes in that damn washing machine. And I open up the door. By the way, it's interesting that they have this glass door in a washing machine, but there's no light in there. So you can see them tumbling around, but you can't as well. It's like... Here's a window, but you're not going to see anything. So anyway, so I open up the washing machine, and I'm taking the stuff from the washing machine, putting it into the dryer. Yeah, I have a dryer. Isn't it interesting that some people don't have a dryer, or their dryer is broken, and they never get it fixed, and they hang their laundry up to dry in the basement of their house? Have you ever seen that? And I'm thinking, like, well, there's nothing more fresh and wonderful than putting on a nice, clean, damp, basement, musty shirt. Imagine going out on a date with a girl. Hey, are you wearing, like, musk? Is that what I'm smelling? Am I smelling musk on you? No, you're smelling must. Must is what you're smelling. I'm musty. I feel musty right now. I'm horny, and I'm musty. I must be horny. I'm both. I'm kind of more horny than I am musty, but you smelling me, probably I'm more musty than I am horny. Anyway, so I'm putting my clothes into the dryer, and I double check all the time because I want to make sure that I'm getting everything out of the washing machine. Sometimes my boys like to cling to the wall of the washing machine drum. They don't want to leave the washing machine. No. Don't take me out. I'm having so much fun tumbling around. They don't want to be taken out at all. So I double check. I stick my hands in there and, sounds kind of weird, doesn't it? And I make sure there's nothing clinging to the wall. Yeah, it sounds even worse. And I put everything into the dryer, and I set it for like 40, 45 minutes of drying, and those babies are tumbling again. And my clothes are happy because now they're tumbling, and they're getting fluffy and dry, and my clothes just love to tumble, man. I don't know what makes them happier. I don't know what makes them happier, seriously. I don't think they want to be cooped up in a drawer all day with the other socks and the other underpants and all that kind of stuff, and being shoved in a closet. How would you like to be shoved in a closet for long periods of time until someone decides, oh, now you look worthy, now I'll put you on? That's just really, it's very subservient to the clothes, to be honest with you. So these clothes love to get out. They love to tumble around. They do little snow angels and things like that. So in the washing machine, and now they're in the dryer, And now the dryer is finished, and I take all the clothes out of the dryer, and I go through the same exercise that I went through with the washing machine. I make sure that no one's clinging to that drum, man. Don't be clinging to the drum. Don't be clinging to the drum of the dryer, man. And I take them in a laundry basket, and I bring them into my bedroom, and I throw them all out on the bed, and I start pairing my stuff. I separate the underpants from the socks, the t-shirts, all the other stuff. You know, they're in their own separate areas. I mean, you've played in the washing machine, the dryer. You've tumbled around together. Now it's time to separate you. You go your own ways. You are going home, back to your drawers. Then I get to the sock situation, and I ball my socks. I do ball them, yes, which means that I intertwine them into little balls so that when I want to put a pair of socks on, I just grab the ball, and there's my two socks all intertwined. So I'm starting to pair off the socks now. You know, I'm pairing them off. And there are certain little keys, you know, the patterns are different, and there's little insignias up near the top ankle parts. So, you know, it's something to identify them to their own home teams. But then, and I know this happens to you, things start getting a little crazy because no matter how much I try, no matter how much I inspect those drums, I will always find that some of my socks, some of my boys, have taken off. And And now begins the perpetual mystery. Where did my little socks go? Where are my socks? And I call the police immediately. I call the police and I say, someone took my socks. I had 8 socks. Now there's only like 5 socks. I've checked everywhere. I've checked, I've called the sock line. There is a sock line you can call for missing socks. When there's a missing person, they put it on a milk bottle. When there is a missing sock, they put it on the side of a shoebox. I don't know if you know this, but it's absolutely true. If you go to the post office, you'll see, and you got to look really hard for them, you'll see the missing socks on the wall and some really heart-rendering, horrible comments from the parents of missing socks, because when you're missing socks, it's like, where did you go? What happened to you? And it gets very, very sad at a point. My name is Jim. My parents were going to call me Bob, but there were too many Bobs. 6 weeks ago, I was doing my laundry. I put all my socks, the washing machine, the dryer, checked them thoroughly. When I took my socks out, 3 of my socks were missing. I looked all over. I screamed, I opened up my windows and I yelled for my socks, but I heard no response. I walked around the neighborhood, socks, socks. They thought I was looking for my cat, but no, I was looking for my socks. I was good to my socks. We never had an argument about anything. Sometimes when there'd be a hole in the big toe, I'd mend them and bring them back to sock life. I don't understand it. I wore them well, always gave them comfortable shoes in which to shelter themselves, kept them dry in wet weather, found a nice cozy dry place for them when I was not using them, treated those socks like they were my own, and they were. Now 3 of them are gone. It's been 6 weeks. I don't think I'll ever see my socks again. Please, if you see my socks, call 555-2732. Help me get my socks back, please. I don't know where the hell these things go. I really don't. I'm a little I get insulted. I really do. Like, okay, all right. You don't want to stick around? You don't want to be in my sock drawer? Screw you, man. Go find another home. Go find another drawer. See if they treat you any better than I did. So now I have, like, a lot of mismatched socks. And it's sad for them. They're looking for their mates. At night when I'm sleeping, I hear sounds coming from the closet. Help me. Help me. They're very sad that they're sitting there alone, unmated, unmatched. Some of my socks feel like they'll never find a mate. Some of those socks are getting pretty old. I have had some of those socks for about 5-6 years, and as you know, the lifespan of a good sock is about 8 years before they get ripped and torn and they have to meet their demise in the wastebasket. It's a horrible thing, but it happens to all of us. It's the circle of socks. I would sing the circle of socks from The Lion King, only that would like really make it really pathetic beyond what I'm already doing. So, yeah, it's sad. Sure. Sure it is. I feel like hiring a private detective to find my socks. Is there a place where socks really do go? Is there a sock home somewhere for mismanaged socks? Socks that feel like they can no longer reside in the home. They need to move on. Well, I want to address those socks right now, those socks that are missing, You've got mates at home waiting for you, bawling themselves to sleep, bawling their socks out. It's painful. It hurts. It hurts when something leaves you and doesn't come back.
It was unbelievably painful.
So I think I've pretty much milked this sock bit as far as one can milk a sock bit. And I am now through with the sock bit.
Whatever.
No, I'm serious. I'm done.
Okay, get comfortable, everybody. It's time for one of Ron's funny stories.
No. That was the funny story. You don't understand. I'm done. No more funny stories. That's the end of the funny story.
And that was another funny story from Ron. Wait, that was supposed to be funny? Wow.
Gentlemen, you know that when you decide to get engaged, you'll be making one of the most important investments of your life. Think about it. From the moment you get down on bended knee and present the ring, how much you actually love someone will be judged solely on the size of the stone you buy. And not just by the one you love, but by literally everyone she knows. And strangers. At Schlickershek the Jewelers, we know that when you're about to cough up what amounts to a few months' rent to obtain the exclusive naming rights to a vagina, you want to be able to be sure that you've made the best choice. So if you've decided it's time to staple gun your man tackle to a single hitching post and to never be able to experience the simple joy of a meaningless hookup without handing over half your stuff, come to Schlickershek the Jewelers and see our amazing line of certified, high-quality, shallow female ego strokers. Take it from me, Herbert Schlickershek. I'm not just your local jeweler. I've been married 6.5 times. Vegas marriages, boys. Very easy to annul when the shrew goes south on you. And she will.
Can we put away the guns tonight? It's not a war. And I'm dying, lying you made upon a thousand times, and I'm not afraid to lose. Step away from the stereo, you're cringing out too loud, and it hurts. Could you go back through the double doors? Cause I'm just not in the mood. No, I'm not in the mood.
Welcome back to the program. We're going to be talking about things in the pantry coming up pretty soon on the program today, and some other various and sundry items as well. Hey, kids, ladies and gentlemen, how you doing? Hey, just to clear up some confusion, this is the Ron Van Dam Show. That's confusing enough. The company that we're doing this under is Metro South Podcasting. And now we're kind of expanding. We've had some possibilities to expand nationwide into other urban markets, such as LA and New York and other parts of New England. So we're syndicating some radio here, this show, and we're going to bring on some others as well, hopefully, and syndicate those as well to radio stations. So we have set up New England Broadcasting. That's going to be our parent company, and that's where we are right now. So if you go to the websites and you see New England Broadcasting, that's who we are now. So no longer Metro South Podcasting, now we are New England Broadcasting. It's semantics, it doesn't really make any difference. It just killed about 1.5 minutes of this show, and that's my goal, is to kill minutes. Hey, you know, there's a few things in life I don't understand. I got to be honest with you. I consider myself to be worldly. I dropped off my I go to dry cleaners pretty much. I as I said, I do the laundry. I'm sticking with the cleaning your clothes theme today. By the way, have you noticed that? I drop my shirts off at the laundry, and my shirts are my guys. You know what I'm saying? I own the shirts. They cost me money. Some of my shirts, you know, the dress shirts are like some of them are like only $12, which is a lot of money, really. And others are like $40 for shirt, and I'm thinking, whoa, who made that? Like some king or queen or something? Like, wow. So I bring them down to dry cleaners because I like my dress shirts to look really good, you know, when I'm dressing up and stuff. So I go down to this cleaners, and there's a lady behind the counter, and she kind of blew my mind in a sense. Wait a minute. And I gave her the shirts, and as I gave her the shirts, I counted them out. 1, 2, 3, and you check the pockets, you make sure there's no money in there. God, you don't want to give these people any extra money. You make sure there's no strange things in the pockets, if you know what I mean. You know, you don't want to get your dry cleaning back with a little envelope. But here, Mr. Van Damme, here's your dry cleaning, and in this envelope we found that used condom in your pocket. You know, it's kind of disgusting, but... I know, we didn't want to throw it out. We didn't want to touch it. But it's clean now. It's dry clean. We've dry cleaned your condom is what we did. It's used, and but it's clean. I don't know if you want to reuse it. It's not my business. And now I want to stop talking about it. That didn't happen. I'm just saying, what if it did? It didn't. So I count out the shirts, and then and she asked for my name and my address and my phone number and my social security number and my shoe size and all that. And it's like, oh, look, it's very personal. She wants my my median income. Am I white or black or Spanish, Hispanic? What am I? And I said, I don't really know what I am. I think I'm a mixture of things, but I don't really have the time to go through that right now. I think I'm a mutt. I don't know. I'm not sure. I just want to like dry clean my shirts. It's not like you have to hire me or anything or license me to perform surgery. I just want to like get my shirts cleaned. So she says, fine. And then I lean over to her because she seems very personable. Everybody seems personable at first until you have a conversation with them. Then you realize, not so much. So I lean over to her because I'm a comedian. I'm a funny kind of person. I'm not funny all the time, but sometimes I'll say things that seem to be funny to me, but apparently aren't to other people. So I lean over to her and I say, you know, I don't understand what dry cleaning is. Like, what do you do to my shirts to make them clean? And she leans back over to me and she says, it's a secret. If I told you, I'd have to kill you. At first I laughed. Then as I was leaving the dry cleaning store, I said to myself, is she really going to try to kill me? Oh, that's right. She didn't tell me the secret, so I guess there's no reason to kill me. But if she did, are there dry cleaning secret killers who would actually, like, kill me?
This guy came into the dry cleaners, and he knows the secret. He knows the secret. He knows what dry cleaning really is.
We must find him and kill him. I'm scared now. I don't know what they do when they dry clean. They don't put it in a washing machine. They clean it dry. And I don't know how you can clean something without using something on it to clean it. I don't know what they do, but they do. And to me, it'll remain a mystery. When I was, I guess about 20 years ago, 10 years ago, they had a system in dry... I've talked about this before. A system called Martinizing. And obviously, to me, some guy named Martin said, hey, let's charge an extra like $5 per item and say they're Martinized. And what I'll do is, because I'm Martin, I'll just like spit on them and then clean them after that. And they've been Martinized or literally, you know. I don't know what Martinized is. And I don't think dry cleaners even knew what Martinizing was. I don't think Martin was too sure about it. It cost a little bit more, but no one ever knew for what. And people would go into the dry cleaners, and the people behind the counter would say, "Do you want these Martinized?" And you go, "Yeah, so are you kidding me? Well, I'm not an asshole. Of course I want a Martinized. Why would I come all the way into a dry cleaners and not have these things Martinized? I mean, isn't Martinizing like what you should do? I don't know what it is. Nobody seems to know ever. But of course I want them Martinized. Who wouldn't want to be Martinized by Martin, whoever Martin is and whatever he does to these shirts? By the way, what is Martinizing?
Well, if I told you, I'd have to kill you.
Notice how there is no more Martinizing, and everybody who knows who Martinizing, what Martinizing is, are now mysteriously dead. Interesting. That's what killed Martinizing. Literally, they killed Martin. I don't know what Martin did or where he is. I think Martin's with my missing socks somewhere. I think Martin's wearing all my missing socks, laughing somewhere in Jamaica there, sitting by the side of the pool with a martini. You know, with everybody's Martinizing money, sitting there like with 5,000 pairs of missing socks. That's where you will go. You go down south to the Caribbean, you have yourselves a wonderful time. I know how you guys work. I know how you guys work. All right, let's go to the pantry now. We're clean out your pantries of all those harmful things and start eating healthy and whatever. No, I mean I'm going to be healthier this year. Damn it, I'm going to be healthy. I don't care. Watch, I'll probably get really sick, but why not? Why not? You can still enjoy the foods you like to eat, but don't have them all the time. All right, let's check this out. Let's say hello to registered dietitian, author Sarah Jane Bedwell. Good morning to you.
Good morning, Ron. Thanks for having me.
Pleasure being had. That didn't sound right. What part of the country are you in?
I'm in Nashville, Tennessee.
Good. So it didn't snow there?
No, it's cold, but no snow, thankfully.
All right. Wonderful. Wonderful. Well, you know, you probably don't listen to this show, but you really should. But I speak a lot about eating healthy and eating properly, but also not restricting yourself to putting kale in your mouth every day, which isn't horrible for many people, I suppose. But so I'm happy to speak to you about this, about how to, this is a new year, how to set up a different attitude.
Yeah, I love that, and I love your philosophy. I'm on the same page.
Good.
We've got to be able to enjoy food as well as it be beneficial to our bodies.
Absolutely. So what do we do? Now, I know you're focusing apparently on the pantry.
Exactly, because, you know, you never know what the week's going to hold. It might be a snowstorm, for instance,
or
you may have a busy week at work. And so having a well-stocked pantry can really set you up for success. And so having some essential items on hand is really important.
So what kinds of things should I have in my pantry, and then perhaps some items that I really shouldn't have that most people do?
Well, you know, I think having some things from every food group is really important. So having some good quality sources of protein, for instance, dried or canned beans, they're very inexpensive, they're easy to prepare. Having some good heart-healthy fats, so things like canola oil, it has a neutral flavor, light texture, and a high heat tolerance, so it's versatile for any type of cooking, and it has the least saturated fat of all common cooking oils. And then you also need some whole grains, things like brown rice and quinoa, they keep forever. And they are full of fiber and nutrients, so they're a satisfying way to round out any meal. So having a balance is key. And I think that's the thing that most people don't have in their pantry is having a balance. You know, we tend to have a lot of snack foods and things like that in our pantry, but the pantry is a really good place to store some good, whole, nutritious foods as well.
Okay. So let's talk about the oils and the grain thing, because I'm a little confused about that. Every once in a while, I'm told that a different kind of oil is good for me. And for a long time, it was extra virgin olive oil. And then I'm hearing that canola oil is like really optimal.
Yeah, canola oil actually has the most plant-based omega-3 fats,
really?
Which are really heart-healthy, and the least saturated fats of all common cooking oils.
Really?
It's like half the saturated fat of olive oil. Yes, and so that's why it's a really great heart-healthy choice.
And it's also more versatile than olive oil, because I think olive oil, you can't really do a lot of like heavy heat in, but canola more so. Is that right?
Exactly. It has a high heat tolerance,
yeah.
And that's why it's really versatile. And also that neutral flavor, because, you know, when you're baking something, for instance, you don't necessarily want to taste the oil. You want
right.
to taste all the other flavors
right.
and the spices and that kind of thing. And so that allows those flavors to shine through.
Okay. Now, this the stuff with the grains, I mean, some of it has more calories than the stuff that doesn't have as much fiber and grains. So I'm kind of caught in between which one to go for. Am I looking at my calories? Am I looking for my fiber? I don't know what to do.
Well, you know, I think it's really about getting that bang for your buck, so
yeah.
to speak. So, like, if you're buying something at the store, you want to feel like you're getting the most for your money. And the same thing goes for your calories. If it's packed with nutrition, you know, the calories aren't going to matter as much because they're good quality calories. It's a nutrient-dense food. So I think, you know, really looking to see what does that food provide you for those calories. Does it have at least, you know, 3 or more grams of fiber? Does it have good, healthy fat? You know, what is in that that's beneficial?
Okay. So give me an idea of something that's healthy to eat out of the pantry. I mean, like a meal.
Oh, yeah. So, you know, really how you organize your pantry can help you make a balanced meal.
All right.
If you keep things in your pantry grouped by food group, so you keep all of your proteins together, you have canned beans, canned tuna, you may have some canned salmon, for instance, and then you keep all of your whole grains together, so brown rice, whole wheat pasta, quinoa, you keep your healthy fats together, canola oil, peanut butter, you can group, mix and match, you know, one thing from every shelf,
yeah.
and you'll end up with a really good balanced meal that way. So
okay.
actually, I have two recipes that are my favorite, Mexican baked egg and salmon quinoa patties, and both of those are on canolainfo.org, and they basically use that method of combining some easy protein sources with the whole grains and the heart-healthy fat.
Okay. And that's like for any meal. It's not just for breakfast, right? Well, I guess, this, I don't know, it could be for breakfast.
It could be, but yes, any meal. You know, I think you want to think about getting something from every food group
yeah.
in every meal, and that way you'll be satisfied and you've got a variety of textures and flavors.
Okay, all right. Well, all right, I got a better idea. Organizing is always a good idea. I like that because then when you want to find something, it's right there, and you know which things are good to have in that area and maybe some other stuff not so much on the bad shelf. Do you have a bad shelf?
You know, I like to keep treats in the house because, you know, what would life be without a little treat? I allow myself
yeah.
at least one treat a day, but I generally keep those things out of sight. So on the top shelf or in the freezer,
keep them out of
because
sight.
That way I'm not going to grab that right away when I'm hungry. I keep those nutrient-rich things on the eye-level shelf and keep the other things on the top shelf.
I can picture you hiding things in the attic.
Yeah,
yeah,
that's a way to get some exercise and enjoy your treat,
oh,
right?
There you go. You got an answer for everything, don't you? Okay. How can we get more information about all of this?
So you can get that top 10 list of pantry essentials and those recipes I mentioned at canolainfo.org.
Mm-hmm.
And you can go to Facebook and Twitter and check out Canola Info as well.
Sounds really good. Did we cover everything we need to cover and make sure everybody understands?
I think so. Sounds well, great.
Wonderful. Great speaking to you.
You as well. Thank you so much.
Bye-bye. Adorable. She's just adorable, isn't she? She's adorable. It's something that she's got that... Did you hear the little southern twang going on there? Yeah, me too. I heard that too. It's really lovely. It's just so lovely. Ladies and gentlemen, we're out of time. Oh, my God. I can't believe it. It's been wonderful. It's been magical. It's been a dream. It's just And now I'm actually coming out of a dream. Look at this. Listen to this. Coming out of a dream. That's right. Yes, I've come out. And now I'm going back into a dream again. And now I'm done with that dream. I'm coming out of a dream right now. I'm coming out. And that just goes to show that you can really dream peacefully as long as you have a harp. Well, these Southern accents are just amazing to me. And it's very limiting. And I'm sorry, this is very, very profiling. But these sweet little girls from the South, like this woman was, it's like all they really ever know how to say is, "You want some pie? Would you like some pie? You want to have some pie? How y'all doing? You want some pie? You want some pie, by the way? Did I mention that I got some pie? Would you like some pie? How y'all doing? How you all doing? I only see one of you in front of me, but I'm going to call you all. Because I guess I can't speak to one person. I have to speak to you all at once. So, but do you want some pie? Pie's very good. It's all I got. It's all I know how to say. You want some pie?" And I'm insulting everybody, every woman from the South. And now I'm going to insult every man from the South. You ready? Here we go. Here's how I insult every man from the South.
Hey, you want to go hunting? You want to wanna grab your gun, go hunting? Hey, you want to go hunting? Wait a minute. Before we go out and grab our guns and go hunting, wait, before we go.
Before you go, you want some pie? Would you like some pie? Pie before you grab your gun and go hunting?
Okay, I'm going to bring my gun. I'm going to go hunting. I'm going to grab my gun and go hunting.
British lady, you all British lady, you want some pie? You want some pie?
Whatever.